Hi, it's Mark Mohammedpour, and welcome to Chasing the Sun, the show about permit changes to weight loss and maintenance. You can reach me at MARKMOH on Instagram or Twitter. And this is part two of our chat with Lisa Harwin from the Port of Portland. We had a wonderful time and hope you enjoy part two. Thanks for listening.
About habits, you talk about choices and saying you're going to bring the same food every day. I think for those who haven't had to go through this change, people don't realize, just to be perfectly frank, people don't realize that when you've weighed that much and you lose it and you feel different, you will do like almost anything it takes to not go back to that. And once you learn and figure out what's important, yes, food is great. Like I love pizza and burgers and French fries and all that. But I've now realized that I don't need to have a whole burger and fries. I can split that with my wife. I don't need to eat that whole large pizza that I used to at 11 o'clock. I can now have a thin crust version of that veggie pizza, but instead of having an entire pepperoni and black olive thick crust pizza, I can have a third of a veggie thin pizza. And like all, and you have that same attitude across all your different meals, and you apply that thinking throughout, and that is ultimately what sets you up for success.
Yeah,
it's not about if somebody wants to do a Whole30 or a keto, I'm not going to judge if they want to do that. My question for them is, what are you going to do on day 31?
Yep.
What are you going to do on day 16? What are you going to do on day 8? What are you going to do on day 91? Whatever. If you know that going in, good. But you probably don't.
Yeah. I think that's totally true. I also just think that generally speaking, awareness makes a huge difference. I mean, for me, I remember before I kind of started this journey, I remember going into Trader Joe's. And they had those like delightful little, not like mini quiches, but like a small round quiche, right? And and they were delicious, right? And so at that point, I was like, okay, I started using Weight Watchers and I was kind of tracking my food. And I was like, you know, that quiche thing, it's delicious. It's small. It's like a pretty small meal, right? Like I can totally eat that. Like that is a responsible choice. It's not a huge amount of food. Right. It's a good choice, right? And then all of a sudden I was, you know, tracking things and looking at labels and I was like, oh my God, that is small, but just packed with calories and fat. Sure. And I was like, ooh, I just had no idea. I had really no awareness. Right. And, you know, I periodically kind of experimented with no sugar for like a short amount of time. And taking that moment to like read the labels of literally everything that they add sugar to, just made me more aware. And what happened during that period was that it drove me. So I like salad dressing. I will always put salad dressing on my salad, but you know, having that kind of sugar awareness made me kind of gravitate towards different salad dressings, which then just became the regular salad dressings that I picked, or, you know, drove me towards certain spaghetti sauce that then just became the spaghetti sauce that I use. Right. So at this point, I mean, I don't do no sugar. I love sweets.
Yeah.
But I think that awareness of it has now made me a person who actually like generally doesn't eat a ton of sugar.
Right? Sure.
It just is how it is.
You're not restricting it, but you understand what it, how it impacts you.
Yeah. And just where it is and how it sneaks into things. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's just that larger point, like you said. I mean, you can do a diet and see quick results, but really it's about the awareness that then helps you make good choices just on a daily, regular basis. And I would also say, as someone who has, you know, been called boring for perhaps the food routines, right? Or even life routines, like I go to the gym on the same days and I do the same thing and, you know, so on and so forth. I think a lot of successful people have routines and habits that they practice over and over and over again. And I don't think there's any shame in it.
No.
And I think if that's what helps you be successful, then that works right. for you. And if you're a person who's like, I could just never do that, then right. that's okay that's too. Okay. I think, you know, as you find the things that work, keep doing those yeah. and let go of the things that you find aren't really working super well for you.
Lisa, I think you're exactly right. And it's more important now than ever when you look at the amount of influence that we have online and the number of different channels and avenues that we can see influence. And it's very overwhelming. It's part intimidating, but I think it's also overwhelming because of all the different options that are out there. And I say, I'm going to subscribe to this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But like me, we figured out what works for us. And we were just talking about this before we're recording. Every day, we are thinking about our weight. We are thinking about our eating. We are thinking about our intake. We are preparing. We're planning. And we're spending a lot of time doing it. We choose to do it because we know that we feel better about it. I just went to my doctor, got a checkup. All my levels are good. They did not used to be good. The times that I used to go, there are times that I didn't go in my 20s. I barely went because I didn't want to know.
To know, yeah.
Now I do want to know because I'm proud, right? When I see my HDL level is good, I see my LDL level is good, I see all of that, it helps me significantly. And just knowing that I contributed to that and I was able to control that, to me, that's a huge a personal achievement for me.
You know, it's so funny because I feel much the same way. And, you know, I think there was a time when I really didn't love going to the doctor and finding out that information. But it's actually, it makes me laugh now because every year we do biometrics and we have to take this little health quiz and they weigh us and they get our blood pressure and, you know, they check all of our levels and all of this. And every year I get on the scale and they mark my weight on, you know, the BMI
right.
thing. And before they do any of the rest of my testing.
Oh, geez.
So then they look and then they say, well, you know, your BMI is a little high. Mm-hmm. You could probably lose some weight. And then I laugh.
The BMI and is I'm a like, whole thing. Okay. I could talk for days about the BMI.
And then they do all the other right. pieces of it. And their face is like, oh, you are extremely fit. And like, what are you even eating? You know, like right. really, like you're doing great.
Yeah.
And then they go back and they look at the BMI and they're like, well, I mean, technically you could lose weight, but you're completely healthy. Like you don't really worry about that. I mean, that's what it says on the paper, but don't worry about it.
Arbitrary grid.
You know, but every time it kind of makes me laugh because it's true. I mean, technically, yes, I am still overweight.
Yeah.
But like lifestyle wise right. and health wise, yeah. I am more fit than many people who probably are, you know, way less on a scale than yeah. I do. Part of that is actually, you know, this whole idea that muscle is heavier than fat, you know, yeah. I probably weigh a little bit more because of that too, but I am strong and yes. I am healthy. And, yeah. And at this point, BMI is kind of a ridiculous measure, at least for me.
I agree. And that's a big, people who go start in strength training. And this is a challenge. This is one of the things I try to talk to people about is if you want to go to a gym, if you're trying to start out and go to a gym and have a personal trainer, like that's fine. I think that's a great mental decision you're making. I think two things. One is that for me, if you're extremely overweight, it is about the food more than it is going to the gym. If you think going to the gym is going to work for you, great, do it. If that's going to help your food, but if you keep doing that more and more, then don't do that. Focus on the food. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that there is this, people don't get that when you're starting strength training, you are retaining water because your muscles are growing and it takes a long time it takes weeks for you to see results, but you're going to see results, but people don't get patient. They see the scale, you know, plateauing or increasing, and then they get frustrated and they start over because they're not educated.
Totally true. And I mean, I really, I know plenty of people in life who are like, I go to the gym all the time. And I never lose any weight. And it's because they are not, definitely not making healthy food choices at all.
No.
So it does make a big difference. I absolutely think food is the more important part of that equation. I think you do strength training or whatever that piece of fitness is for you because you want to be strong. But it's not necessarily going to, you know, make you drop the pounds quickly. And I also remember hearing, like, as I went through losing weight, that it's very realistic that you lose, plateau for a while, even if you're doing the exact same thing. And I was told at the time, I don't know if this is actually scientifically true or not, but it made me feel better, that basically your body is like burning fat from one area. And then it's burned all that fat. So now it needs a moment to like regroup.
Yes.
And find a new place to start working on. And that basically this plateau is just my body regrouping and figuring out where it wants to focus next.
It's
and,
going on an offsite. The body's going on an offsite. It's going on a retreat. It's trying to figure itself out. And then it's going to come back all refreshed.
Exactly. Yes, totally true. And I that made me feel like that was part of the path just as much as anything else. And, you know, I think one of the other things I was going to say in terms of habits, and one of the things that I still do to this day is, I mean, I do like checking out menus of restaurants before I go.
Yeah.
So I have an awareness of like what choice I want to make instead of having to make a choice in the moment, though usually I can make a good choice in the moment, but I do try and kind of think through that first. And, you know, when I travel, if I'm in a hotel, I check out where the fitness center is. Yeah. I bring resistance bands with me, or look for some body weight exercises that I can do. But, you know, I was telling you this a little bit earlier, and it's true. The longer you're able to maintain where you're at and kind of know what works for you and what doesn't, the more hopefully you can relax a little. And maybe release some of these things that haunt you constantly.
Right.
And I was telling the story about how the first time I went to PRSA's Connect conference, which is the employee communications conference, I was staying in a hotel and I checked out where the fitness center was. And I went to the fitness center every night of the conference to work out. And I felt really good about myself. And I was like, I traveled for work and I did it. And
the
next time around, brought my resistance bands. And I was like, I have what I need here. I can use it. And I did a couple of the times, but I was a little bit like, I failed a little bit. I didn't do it the entire time.
But part of it is because you had met people the previous year and you created a bond and you want to spend time with them. Because you're only going to see them once a year.
Exactly.
People from all around the world, right?
And then every year since, I've kind of tried to let it go and remember that I'm there with people that I never get to see, who I genuinely like, and I just want to spend time with. And you know what? I can go. I can enjoy it. I can have a great time. I can bond with people, and I can come home and get right back on the horse.
Right.
Like these things, trips, conferences, they don't derail me anymore because I just come back and I get back into the same routine. And I do think that is key. You know, don't let yourself kind of lose that habit. You know, make the habit strong enough and important enough to you that when you travel, when I go to Feast last weekend, I'm able to enjoy it and have a great time and then just get back to like regular life and regular routine and habits.
Is there anything tactically you do for that, or is it just that, you know, like you talk about going to the gym and you just have that instinctually? Is that kind of where it starts? Is there anything else tactically you do to...
I would definitely say that's where it starts. But I would also say, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to be one of those people who's like, I love the gym and I love working out. It's my favorite thing in the entire world. But that said, I definitely do enjoy it more, and it's a part of my life, and to not do it does feel a little bit sad, like I miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, again, people have all different types of exercise that really appeal to them. For me, I love doing classes. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason I love doing classes is that there are other people in the classes.
Sure.
And seeing them on a regular basis helps me be accountable.
Yep.
Because then, you know, Karen will say, oh, hey, you weren't here last Thursday. Right. And what's I'll be like, crap, I gotta come next. Right. And, or she'll say, I'll see you next Thursday. Yeah. And I'll be like, damn it, I gotta go on Thursday right. now. And, you know, for me, that's important because, you know, I know everyone, right? That's part of the reason I don't want to leave this gym, right? And find a new one.
You have a bond with
them. So when I travel, so I go to the gym on basically the same days every week. When I travel, sometimes I miss a regular gym day, but sometimes I come home in time to go to a different class or go to a late class or whatever it is. And usually once... You know, if I'm traveling and I've missed like three of my regular classes, I literally come home going like, okay, what's the first class I can take?
Wow.
Because I've missed three now and I really just want to get right back into it. That's weird. I acknowledge that. But I do think that that is, again, the power of building a habit,
right?
Once you build a habit, it is part of your life and it is part of your routine. It's something that's consistent and you're committed to. And then no matter what happens, it doesn't really pull you off the path because you just want to get right back to it because it's part of your life, right? So, but it does take a while to build that kind of a commitment. And, you know, it is a bit of a trial and error to figure out what thing you're going to enjoy enough that you want to build that commitment for.
A lot of trial and error.
I mean, look, you're a big Timbers fan, right? Like, if you were traveling and you didn't get to go to, like, five games, when you came back, you would probably be like, I want to go to that game so bad.
I want to go to practice. Like, I want to go watch him practice. Like, whatever. Absolutely. Right? Yep.
You have a passion for it, and it's a big part of your life. And, you know, I think developing that passion for things that are also healthy choices or things that bring you better work-life balance or things that make your life richer and make your mental health improved and make you feel good about yourself and what you offer to the world is a wonderful
thing. Agree. Yeah. And within your control.
Yes.
Because that's the big message in our profession is we try to control the uncontrollable.
Yeah.
The crises and the changing priorities minute to minute. If you can control what you can control, going to the gym, what you're eating, to me, that's a big message that I'm trying to help install in your exhibit A of like saying, I'm going to leave early because I'm going to do this and I'm still committed to my job and I'm still be accountable, but I need to make myself a priority and I'm going to do this because, you know, this is better for my mind and my body, and because my mind and body is better, I'm able to work better for my profession. And so it's, you know, it connects.
Yeah, 100%. And I would also say, you know, I had mentioned this to you, this idea of willpower, right? I mean, willpower is awesome. Yeah. I don't have any willpower, right? Like, I really don't. There are certain things, definitely. I mentioned my love of desserts. I love biscuits. There are a lot of things that like I have no willpower
for. I do too. Yeah.
But you know, within, again, the areas that you control, like maybe your own kitchen and cupboards and pantry, you know, it may not be just a matter of willpower. It may be a matter of like resisting temptation in the first place.
Right.
Like if you're not bringing things into your space that are going to pull you off track, it makes it a lot easier to have willpower, right?
Because
it's not there.
Exactly.
It's not there to tempt you.
Exactly.
So I did find and do find that having a lot of healthy snacks around, being able to be surrounded with good choices means that I very rarely have the energy to, you know, I'm at home and I think, gosh, I could really use some ice cream. And I look and there's no ice cream because of course I don't have ice cream in my house.
Right.
And then I think, oh, I have to put on some clothes and then I have to get in the car and then I have to drive to the store and then I can get the ice cream. And then I'm like, that is way too much work.
No.
I'm just going to be content with my apple.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I mean, I think sometimes knowing our own, what we cannot resist and, not making future Lisa, you know, not making things so easy for her, you know, maybe in her moment of weakness.
Completely agree. Lisa, this has been a wonderful conversation. I just appreciate your time. Any other parting words?
I actually do have one. And I say this only because it stuck with me so deeply. Back when I was in the very beginning of my journey, it was when I was at the Red Cross. And I was like, I do not want to go to the gym. I just don't. I'm tired. I don't want to do it. I want to go out to happy hour with my friends. I want to do anything other than go to the gym. And my coworker at the time, who is a wonderful, amazing person, said to me, Lisa, you will never regret going to the gym. And I was like, whatever. I seriously doubt that. That's lame. And her voice literally rings in my head all the time. Yeah. Anytime I think to myself, I really don't want to go. I hear this little voice saying, you'll never regret going, but you will regret not going. Yeah. And it's been true. I mean, when I go, it's not so much that I enjoy myself. It's more that I'm like, I did it. Yeah. Right? Done. It was an hour. It's not that big of a deal. I'm done with it. But when I don't go, and I could have gone, yeah, I am always like, I really should have done that. I should have gone. I should have just bucked up and
right.
did it.
What else would you have spent that hour doing?
Exactly. You know, exactly. Know. So I guess I hope everyone has, you know, a little voice in their head yeah. that reminds them that it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, you'll feel good at the end of it.
And whether it's going to the gym or taking yeah, a walk or whatever, like whatever checks the box.
Yeah. And I mean, and that your colleagues and anyone who cares about you will appreciate yeah. that you will come back to work with yeah. a clearer mind yeah. and a stronger commitment because you're not going to be distracted. Yeah. And you'll be taking care of yourself and you'll be contributing at 100%. Yeah. And ultimately, that's all any professional communicator or professional generally wants to be able to bring to their job.
Lisa, I cannot agree more. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your professionalism. Thank you for your commitment to your own personal health and wellness and raising the flag, not only in our profession, but at your employer at the port. And I just appreciate your friendship and let's keep talking about this.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
What a great chat with Lisa Harwin from the Port of Portland. I so appreciate her time and her thoughts a few weeks back. And I think she's a wonderful example of someone who in their life has decided they needed to make a change for themselves while still advancing in their career and has come out the other side even better. So thanks, Lisa, for your time. This is Mark Mohammadpour, Chasing the Sun, MerkMoh on Instagram or Twitter, Mark at chasingthesunpdx.com. Reach out to me. Let's chat about how I can help you incorporate health and wellness so you can live your best life. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day, and we'll chat soon.